Thank you, Jackie. Praise the Lord. God is good. Everyone good, happy to be in the house of God? That's good. Yeah, can we turn the light up a bit? We are sharing the word of God, so I thought it would be a bit of light. That would be fantastic. Thank you. Wow, Louis just ran up there. Fantastic. Alrighty, today we're going to talk about the practice of discipleship. Everyone say discipleship. Discipleship. So this last couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how to build a disciple-making church. And we're going to talk about discipleship. But I thought before we do that, we're going to play a bit of a game. Is it okay to play a game in during the church service? Is that all right? All right? All right, just play a bit of a quiz, yeah? All right, so this is a quiz here. Now, I want you to think of a product that this company is known for, all right? I'm going to flash some logos up. You're going to yell out, all right? We're going to start with the easy ones, all right? Start with the easy ones. So if you see this, yell out a product, all right? That they are known for. All right, first thing first. What is it known for? Chicken. Very, very good. All right, we're doing very well. All right, that's good. All right, let's keep going, all right? How about this? Doing very well. Well done. That's good. Gordon, you good? Yep. How about this one? Watch. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. How about this one? Very good. You guys are doing very well. All right, this one is a bit tricky. This one, I'll see whether you guys know. How about this one? A pen. Oh, who said pen? Wow, see this. Yeah. Watch too, yes. Usually middle age and above, they know this brand. Or they are slightly wealthier people, like, you know, Joe, you know? So they'll know this brand. I wouldn't know. It's a brand of a pen, all right? So that's good. Let's keep going, yeah? One more. All right, see whether you can get this. How about this? Okay, so we have Jesus, we have church.
Calvary,
that's good. Sorry? Salvation. You see, the fact that we have so many different answers, it tells you that we are a bit confused, huh? A bit confused. Now, obviously, they are all correct. You know, worship, you know, Jesus, you know. Us. Someone say us. Someone yell us. Is it Caris? That's good. Caris, welcome back. Since last week, welcome back. Welcome back to the house of God. Alrighty. Now, if there's one thing the church is to be known for, it's found in Matthew chapter 28. Yeah, this says, let's all read together, yeah? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And truly, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if you are a Greek student, so the New Testament is originally written in Greek. Now, the reason why I highlighted make disciples, so although there are a lot of action words in there, so in English, we can't really tell, right? So in English, there are lots of action words. We have go, we have make, we have baptize, we have teach. So there are a couple of action words. Obey, that's right, obey. But out of all the action words in Greek, there is a particular word in there that's what I call imperative. Means it's a command. The only command word in all these verbs is actually make disciples. Everyone say make disciples. If a church were to produce a product, just like KFC, you know, chicken and Mont Blanc pan, and if church is to produce a product, we have to be known to produce disciples. Everyone say disciples. Disciples. We are to make disciples. And we should make Jesus' last commission as our first priority. So last week, we actually covered who is a disciple of Christ, but for the benefit of everyone else, I'm just going to quickly run through them. Who is a disciple of Christ? It's a devoted follower of Jesus Christ who makes disciples that make disciples. It's a devoted follower of Jesus Christ who make disciples that make disciples. Who is called to be a disciple of Christ? Anyone? Who is called to be a disciple of Christ? Left top corner there, all the beautiful ladies up there. Who is called to be disciple of Christ? Carol? Yes. Everyone, that's right. I can hear you shouting, everyone. Everyone is called to be disciple of Christ. Yeah. Not just the pastors, yeah. Not just Joe. I miss you, Joe. Yes, that's good. I was telling Joe, The reason why I miss him, obviously I miss him for a lot of reasons, because during service, I only like to tease Joe. You know why? Because Joe can take it. You know, we are good friends too. Yeah, Joe? All good? You still love me? Yeah, that's good. Amen. So, and what is disciple making? Yeah, what is disciple making? Now, disciple making is intentionally, everyone say intentionally. Intentionally taking an effort, deliberately entering into someone's life to help them know and follow Jesus and teach them to obey his commands. In fact, there's a quote by Eric. This is what it says. It says, a church can excel at anything and everything else, but if the church fails to make disciples, if the church is good in worship, if the church is good in our prayer meetings, if the church is able to produce great sermon, able to run great Bible colleges, have amazing small groups, the church can be good in everything else, but if it fails to make disciples, this is what it says. She has wandered from her fundamental reason for existence. Man, that's scary, isn't it? You know, sometimes in life, you can be so good in so many things, but the one thing that is important, that if we miss out, we actually miss out the whole point. The whole point. That's the reason why the Bible says, Jesus asks us to make disciples. Everyone say disciples. So today, in particular, I want to talk about what are the practices of disciples of Christ. It's a strange word, isn't it? What are the practices of disciples of Christ? Do you know in every industry and in every kind of sports, there are certain kind of practices. So for example, basketball. I'm not a basketball player. So any basketball player around? Who's a basketball player here? Kelly, you're all right. That's good. So we're going to have a weird interaction here. Kelly is my niece. That's good. I never prep you for this, but I'd like to ask you, Kelly, so what are the key practices of a basketball player? Like, what are the key things the basketball player would do every day? Shooting, that's good. What else? Ball handling, yes. Shooting, ball handling, that's good. Or any other sports? Do we have any volleyball player here? No volleyball players. We are not very sporty church, are we? This should get out of there more, man. Daniel, what sport? Ah, badminton player. All right, we have a badminton player here at least. All right, tell me, Daniel, what kind of practices a badminton player would do? Like, so for basketball, we have shooting, ball handling. What, how about basketball player? Serving, we practice serving. That's good. So as you can imagine, every kind of sports, we have different kind of practices. By the way, Stephen, welcome back. First Sunday back after a couple of weeks. Lord bless you. We have different practices, right? So when it comes to a disciple of Christ, what are the practices? What are the things that we normally do that when people see you, they know that this is a disciple of Christ? What would it be? Today, I want to suggest to you three things. And it all starts with the word enjoy. Everyone say enjoy. That's good. All right, not very enthusiastic. One more time, everyone say enjoy. All right, if you're not enjoying yourself, I am. All right, I am. Enjoy. Why? We are in the presence of God. So the first thing for us, a disciple of Christ is a follower of Jesus, right? A follower of Jesus means a disciple follows Jesus. It also means the disciple of Christ enjoy being with Jesus. Enjoy being with Jesus. The word emphasis is being, you know. I know this is a bit of cliche. It says that we are human beings, not human doings. We say that a lot, you know. But very often, we do more than we be. Now, this is what the Bible says in John 3:22. It says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out to the Judean countryside where he spent some time. Where Jesus spent some time with them and baptized. One of the things that we learn about Jesus is that he enjoys spending time with his disciples. A disciple is one that loves hanging out with Jesus. One who follows Jesus enjoys spending time with him. If you're in love with someone, guess what? You enjoy spending time with them. How many of you remember your first love? How many are hoping to find your first love? Anyway, don't put up your hand there. I remember when I first met my wife, we spent a lot of time talking. Yeah, strange as years goes by, we don't talk as much. Human beings are a bit confusing. Yeah, you know, when the babies are young, we try to teach them how to talk. Hey, talk, talk, talk. You know, as they grow older, 3, 4, 5, they keep asking why. You know, why this, why that? They ask them to stop talking. You know, you talk too much. Teach them to talk. They ask them to stop talking. Then they become teenagers. They ask them to talk more. At the time, they want to stop talking. They don't talk to you, you know. Anyway, if you love someone, you enjoy being with them. You enjoy fellowshipping with them. You know, every Monday, I go. Monday is my rest day. During the day, I hang out with my wife. And during the night, I'm with Daniel and Andrew. We're in a badminton club. All right. Exclusive now. It's not exclusive. Everyone is welcome to join. Yeah, Louis, you can join us too. Yes, yes. The only female badminton player. We enjoy spending time together. Now, a disciple of Christ is one who enjoys spending time with Jesus. So, as a disciple of Christ, this is something that I want to challenge you to do. I want you to set aside time daily to be with Jesus. Set aside time daily to be with Jesus. If you have not done so, I want to encourage you to do that. Set aside time daily to be with Jesus. You know, in Psalm 27, verse 4, we prayed this prayer in our prayer meeting last Friday. In Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." This is written by King David. It says that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now, one of the most common objections that I face when it comes to asking me to spend time with God, including myself, is that we are busy people. How many people are not busy here? No one dares to put up their hands. Eh? In fact, in our culture, the busier you are, the more important you seem to be. You know, so everyone is busy, 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 busy. You know, everyone is very busy. Too busy for God. Do you think that King David is a busy man? Anyone is more busy than King David? I don't think so, right? I mean, King David has a lot more responsibility in life, you know. Not to mention that he's got many wives too, you know. One is enough hating, and I don't know why he only has so many wives. Not good. Anyway, that's besides the point. Where am I going with this? Busyness, that's right. Stick to the point. Busyness. Set aside time for God. You see, when you talk about discipleship last week, you talk about it's relational, remember? It is intentional. Our relationship with God, unless we set aside time, guess what? Everything else will crowd your calendar. You know? So in your calendar, for those of you that use calendar, just put it in your calendar. Block it out. And to say that this time when people ring you, and if that time is supposed for God, you tell people you are not available. Not available. Why? It is set aside time for you to hang out with God. Now, the thing is, yes, we set aside a dedicated time for God, but at the same time, prayer is like breathing. Everyone said breathing. Prayer is like breathing, isn't it? Yes, we set aside time with God, but at the same time, what we do is that in our daily routine, in our busyness of life, we keep communing with God. Amen. I was spending time with a brother this week, and we were just talking about how prayer is like breathing. You know, sometimes when you just go out for a walk, look at the sky, just enjoy the sun. In your heart, you can just start thanking God and praising God. Or perhaps you drive to work. Even while you are driving, you can just put on the worship song, just worship Jesus. Being with Jesus, enjoy being in the presence of God. Amen. In Psalm 63, verse 1, check out the desperation of King David. Hear his heart. This is what he says. He says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you." Not casually, not fleetingly, not when I have the time, not when I'm free. He says, "Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water."
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken here, I think the song, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you," I think comes from Psalm 63. Can you hear the heartbeat? If today, for example, you're saying, you know, Kenny, I would love to have that same heart, the heart to be with Jesus, but somehow I feel like I'm in that dry and weary land, but I still seem to be able to desire God. Today, I have a message for you. If today you feel that you are not rested, perhaps, if today in your soul you feel that you are dry, you feel that you are stagnant, perhaps, maybe, it's because the presence of God is lacking in your life. We enjoy God not just during good times. We enjoy God even when we are suffering. You know, looking at this, just at this crowd, I know, like in my life, suffering tends to be present. Yeah? I'm not sure any one of you are going through difficult times. But if I were to take a guess, I know many of you are going through a tough time. Perhaps you are going through a certain suffering that nobody knows about. But that's my encouragement to you. Rather than running away from God, I want to ask you to run to God. Run to God. In Psalm 34, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near." Everyone say near. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Very often when we are brokenhearted, when we are crushed in our spirit, we tend to run away from God. Sometimes we get angry with God. Sometimes we run away from people. Your enemy, the evil one, wants you to be away from the presence of God. Why? Because he knows that when you are in the presence of God, restoration, healing, blessing, favor will come your way. Will come your way. So no matter where you are today, whether you're on the mountaintops or you're on the valley lows, the Lord your God is with you. In fact, Psalm 23 says this, right? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." It says, "Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me." The Lord your God is near you. So for those that are going through a tough patch in life, for those of you that are going through a low points in life, can I encourage you? Can I urge you to draw near to God? And the promise of God is that he will draw near to you. So the first practice is that you enjoy being with God. You just enjoy. You just like love hanging out with Jesus. And second is that you enjoy learning the word of Jesus. Everyone say enjoy. Enjoy again. You know, it's very enjoyable and pleasurable when it comes to God. I didn't explain to you just then, actually, this verse. I actually want to go back to this verse again in Psalm 27. It says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, right? Now, theologians in the past has always wondered, what is the beauty of the Lord? You know, do you know, as human beings, we are naturally, intrinsically, we are drawn towards beautiful things like art or music. What's your favorite music? You just enjoy music, isn't it? Painting, people, the people who are good looking, yeah? You like to look at them again and again, yeah? Oh, good looking, yeah? But just don't look too many times, yeah? Might cause you to sin, yeah? That's not very good. But naturally, we are drawn towards beautiful things. Now, the Bible says, King David says that to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Beauty. Actually, we have an artist in the house here. We're going to talk about beauty, yeah? Yes, your family. Yeah. It's all right. So when we talk about beauty, we talk about things that captivate our attention, right? Things that captivate our attention. When King David said that he's captivated by the beauty of the Lord, what do you think that means? Think a little bit. So one thing have I asked, that which I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I will imagine King David. Perhaps he was running away from Saul, was hiding in the cave. He's saying, God, I have no one else, but I've got you. As I cast my eyes on you, as I turn my eyes upon you, O God, I see the salvation of God. I see you as my protector, my tower of refuge and strength. I'm drawn towards you, O God. Perhaps some of you, beauty of God simply means to experience the forgiveness of God, the riches of His grace, His mercy. You know, wherever Jesus goes, you realize there's a crowd kind of following Him. They are captivated by Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look at the life of Jesus. And it's when we spend that time, when we set aside that time to gaze upon the beauty of God. And it takes time, yeah? Everything good in life, discipleship is not a McDonald's process, by the way. It's not fast food, you know? It's like good food. It takes time, you know. Some good food, I think, takes a couple of days. Leslie, you know this, eh? We have a chef here, Leslie, in the house. Leslie was telling me the other day he was preparing a pork dish. It took him 3 days to prepare. 3 days! Or was it 5 days? I can't remember. It was a long time. I'm not a chef. Every good thing in life takes time. I will walk with the Lord. Takes time. Amen. So don't rush. Don't rush. So second thing is enjoy learning the word of Jesus. Now in Colossians 3:16, yeah, can we read this together? Yeah, at a count of three. One, two, three. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In verse 6, Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, not poorly, eh? Not in lack. Yeah. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In our day and age, we all want to be financially rich. The Bible says, I want you to be word rich. Everyone say word rich. It's good to be rich in life, but we want to be rich in the word of God. Amen. We want to be rich in the word of God. He said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Means overflowingly. More than enough. Overflow to the brim. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly so that out of, just in your interaction with others, very naturally, the word of Christ will kind of spill over. How do you know someone is filled with the word of God and the spirit of God? Very easy. You just give them a push. Yeah, give them a push. I'm just going to give a push. Eh? Do you have any jab? No jabs. I'll give Louis a push. You know, I'll give Louis a push. I'll give Nigel a push. You know, imagine every time I give a push, you know, Nigel will say, bless you, brother. Oh, I know this man is filled with the word of God. You see, with thanksgiving, you know, thank you, Pastor Kenny, you know, for giving me a nudge. Imagine if I push him, the next thing come out is a four-letter word. There's a war. He is not filled with the Spirit of God. He's filled with other kind of spirit, you know? Maybe Johnny Walker, I don't know what kind of spirit. But they are not present in this house. You see, when we are filled by something, it is very easy to spill over. You don't have to like deliberately like you don't have to pre-plan it. You don't have to pre-plan like, okay, if this were to happen, I have to start quoting this scripture, that scripture. No, it comes naturally. You see, when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, when you face crisis, immediately you can think of certain Bible verses that helps you through. Like Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Perhaps you come to a time where you feel very worried, you feel very anxious. Immediately, a certain verse comes to you. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, present your request, the peace of Christ transfer. Oh, something we'll give. Anyway, I know I'm running out of time, that's why I speak a bit fast. But the whole idea is that when you have the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you then spill over. And that's when the people around you know, hey, and it's not just for you, guess what? It's for the people around you. It's for the people around you. And that's where you usher in the presence of God. That's where you usher in the peace of God. People that are going through tough times, difficult times, you tell them, you know what? If I'm going through a tough time, you come to me and say, you know what, Pastor Kenny? God is close to the broken heart. Perhaps someone is feeling a bit low. You know, they are not very happy with their outward appearance. You know, when I was young, I got a lot of pimples on my face. Teenagers, I need pimples. If you have, I have more. I have so much pimples that it's painful all the time. You know, I have to see a special dermatologist. It was very painful. So I grew up, I was thinking, oh, it's very hard, you know. I don't have good outward appearance. I'm kind of short as well. Don't look really good. I'm like, man. Then a brother in Christ came. So, you know, Kenny, then I was young, yeah. Kenny, God does not look at outward appearance. I said, really? Say, God does not look at outward appearance. You see, that brings healing to my heart. That brings healing to my heart. Now, I'm sharing all this to you. It's because I love you guys. Yeah, don't start teasing me, all right? I won't be happy. But if you start teasing me, I'll say, God bless you, because I'm filled with the word of God. Amen? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. No matter what you're going through, there is power and there is solution in the word of Jesus. Everything that you ever need in life, everything can be found in the word of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Everything that you ever need in your life can be found in the word of Jesus. Welcome, Jay. Good to see you. That's good. It's been a while. And that's what we love about the word of Christ. In fact, there's a research done by Lifeway. Lifeway research on discipleship is actually a huge research. The scope of the project is that so they interviewed 1,000 pastors across 8 countries to 4,000 believers. So basically, they asked this question: how do we grow healthy disciples? Yeah, how do we grow healthy disciples? Do you guys want to go take some wild guess? Good servants build good disciples. Good-looking pastor definitely will not build good disciples. Great church facilities, perhaps. You know, what do you think build good disciples? Couple insights here. So they've done this research. First thing first, it says discipleship is intentional. I don't say intentional. It is intentional, meaning to say, if you don't intend it to happen, it will not happen. It has to be intentional. Second, it says groups matter a lot. Today, if you're not part of a small group, I want to urge you. I want to encourage you. If Jesus is part of a small group, Jesus got the 12, then he also got Peter, James, and John. If you're not part of a small group, you must be in a small group. Because if Jesus is part of it, as follower of Jesus, we should be part of it too. Amen? Third thing. It says, reading the Bible matters more than anything else. Now, when people tell me that they are not growing in the Lord, usually the first question that comes to my mind is, are you reading the Bible? How's your walk with Jesus? And then the fourth thing, it says, the discipline of Bible engagement impacts every other discipline. Again, it has to do with Bible. Fifth, that it says there's a deep connection between discipleship and evangelism. Now, I want to dive deep a little bit about reading the Word of God. Is that all right? Is that okay? Yeah, that's good. Now, we are living in this country, we are mostly educated in Western culture. Now, a lot of times when we read for information, right? In fact, in this lecture hall, I would imagine a lecturer would stand up here, teach about nursing course or IT or whatever. This university is famous for their nursing course. I would imagine that perhaps it's a lot of exchange of information. But when we read the Bible, it's not just about information gathering. Now, years back, maybe before Samuel's time, yeah, young Samuel, before your time, Years back, there is no such thing as internet. All right? There's no such thing as internet. When people were to communicate, they write letters to each other. Yeah? So I was an overseas student 20-odd years ago. So if I were to communicate, actually back then, we already have email, yeah? It would be way back then. So imagine you have to communicate someone that you love. You write a letter, yeah? You write a letter. I'm trying to think of someone older, but without being offensive. The fact that I say that I shouldn't name them, all right? That's fine, all right? Think of someone older, letter writing time, you know, separated, they write a letter. Dear honey, I have arrived safely. I miss you dearly. I wish you are here with me. Sent. Now the receiver, did I just heard the ding. Wow, that was quick. Man, that was Instagrammable moment, man. Ding, all right. So the person received it and read the letter. Dear honey, I've arrived, I miss you. So when the person that received the letter, what do you think the person is reading about? Is it just information? Is it just information? The person really wants to connect with this person. He's actually reading not for information, but reading for intimacy. Everyone say intimacy. And that is how we should read our Bible. That's why the Bible, you can read it again and again and again. You can read it again and again and again. It's always fresh. It's always new. Now, I love reading the Word of God. Love reading the Word of God. We read for intimacy, not information. Now, hence the first thing first, what I want to encourage all of us to do. Just now I say set aside a time to spend time with God. Number two, have a Bible reading plan. Everyone plan. Everyone say plan. Have a plan. I know some of us here, you are too Pentecostal to have a plan, yeah? You're a spirit-filled Christian, you know? What plan, you know? We are spontaneous people, you know? Some people know how they read the Bible. Lord Jesus, speak to me today. I open the word, I point. That's very dangerous, you know? You know, I just pointed. It says, he will cut down the thing. It's very dangerous. If your spiritual world depending on opening spontaneously and just pointing to the scriptures, literally, I kid you not, Isaiah 10:34, it says he will cut down the thickest of the forest with an axe and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one. Imagine you're not having a good day at that time and the scripture says the Lord will cut down. I'm like, you're going to cut me down, Lord? It's bad enough, no, Jesus? Have a plan. You know, we just started a men discipleship group yesterday morning. It was awesome. We 8 o'clock. So right now it's official. So guys, you can't pull out anymore. All right. Anyway, you guys sign a covenant. All right. Which you sign a paper say we cannot withdraw from that. Sounds a bit cultish, eh? So anyway, it's a group of men that we're going to meet weekly. Pastor Render is part of the group too. Daniel is in there, Nigel. Yeah. So no pulling out. All right. So 40 weeks. We're going to meet for. Over a year, we have a plan. We're going to read the whole New Testament together. Not only are we going to read the whole New Testament together, we're going to engage it by journaling. Because Jerome, one of my favorite early church fathers, he says ignorance of scriptures is ignorance of Christ. So we have to engage the Bible by journaling. So we encourage one another. We say, you know what? Starting from tomorrow, 1st of August, starting from tomorrow, we are in the plan right now. You version, thank you. Anson, yeah. Ellie, I don't know why you're part of the group too. You're actually in the U version group. You have to ask Anson, I don't know why you're in that group. But tomorrow we are starting Luke chapter 1. All right, we're going to read the whole New Testament in 1 year. Yeah, Chin, you're in that group too. Yeah, you can't pull out. So that's good. Have a plan. You know why it's good to have a plan? Because sometimes early in the morning, no one is thinking. I don't know about you, I won't be thinking when I wake up early in the morning. You know, sometimes you wake up early morning, you just rush and rush. So when you have a plan, you just go through that plan. Spend time with God and enjoy His Word. Amen? And just enjoy His Word. And I don't have time to go through how to hear from the Word of God. Perhaps next time we'll talk a little bit about it, yeah? Yes, Jay. Yes, please. Thank you. Yes. John 8:32. I tell you, yep. Yep. Yes. 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 Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yep. And remember, we have this conversation before Jay together. In fact, we talked about Matthew 6 and 7 as well. It says that, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Yeah? Yep. Yep. That's good. Yes. Yep. 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 Amen to that. Yep. Yep. So next week when you come, we can actually talk about those people that are falling off, yeah? So next week, come again. We're going to talk about the process of discipleship from those that are in a crowd, how then they can become the disciple of Jesus. But thank you for picking that up, Jay. Truly, that's what we say, isn't it? A disciple is one, a devoted follower of Jesus Christ who do the will of the Father. Now, I got just a couple more minutes time, so let's get on to this, yeah? So first, we say we enjoy being with Jesus. Second, we enjoy the word of Jesus. And thirdly, we say we enjoy God's rest. Everyone say God's rest. Now, this is very important for 21st century people. It is very important for every century, but particularly in this century, because people are just busy all the time. We talk about physical and mental rest. You know, in Hebrews 4:9, it says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever has entered God's rest has also entered from his work as God did from his. You must rest from your work. No one should be working 7 days a week. If God has to take a break, you have to take a break. Physical and mental rest. Second, spiritual and emotional rest. In Matthew 11:28-29, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If I can just have the worship team to come out, even as I bring this time to a close. Talk about rest. I want to encourage every one of us here today, you know. I hope this time of me sharing the word of God, preaching to you, it's not just information, but it's really about transformation. It's to transform the way we live. Now, to change your life, you have to change your daily habit. To change my life, I have to change my daily habit. We talk about setting aside time for God. We're talking about having a Bible reading plan. We talk about learn how to journal. And then finally, we talk about how to find rest in God. Now, in this time, a lot of us, we're just running. You know, when we talk about rest, it's not necessarily just a physical rest. Sometimes it's that mental and emotional rest. Sometimes it's a rest from keep thinking about caring for other people, isn't it? Sometimes you may not be doing anything, but in your mind, you keep thinking about the worries in your life. the Bible asks us to rest. In fact, to find rest is also mean to put your complete trust in God. Some of you keep running from the past. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come and experience the forgiveness of God. Some of you are carrying so many responsibilities and burdens in your life. Sometimes you think about the future of your children. Sometimes you think about your own children. Sometimes you think of your grandchildren. You know, worries never stop. But rest means that no matter what happens, you trust that the Lord your God, the God who died for you on the cross, who is sufficient to forgive your sin, is also sufficient to look after things that is beyond your control. Can I get an amen for that? Come, let us all rest. Let us all rise. If I can invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads, just take this moment and think about the Lord's invitation to you today. The Lord's invitation for you to be a disciple of Jesus, to enjoy His presence, to enjoy His word, and to enjoy His rest. Presence, oh God. We come to your presence, oh God. We want to be changed by you from the inside out, oh God. Father, we don't want to run this race on our own strength, but want to run it in your presence, in your strength, oh God. So Spirit of Living God, come and minister to us, oh God. Also, one area is rest. Another area is dryness. I sense the Lord is saying to us, many of us here, we feel kind of dry. We feel that our walk with the Lord has come to a stagnant standpoint. I sense the Spirit of God is saying to you that as you draw near to God, the promises of God is that He will draw near to you. And that the river of God will start flowing. The river of God will start flowing in your heart. That God is going to renew your love for Him. And all you have to do is say, God, I desire You. I want to spend time with You. I want to surrender my life to You. Would You come and do a mighty work? Even as we sing this song one more time, would you cry out to God and say, God, I want to be close to You. I want to draw near to You. I do not want to be dry anymore. Come, flood us with Your love. Fill us with the Spirit of the living God. Come, flood us, restore us, renew us, O God. Sing to the Lord.